वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, chapter 20, text number 20. Rashtanabhimukopyenam Anugrahadilambitaha Pasyan Padmapalashaksho Naprakashte Suritsatam Rashtanabhimukopyenam Anugraha vilambita Pasyan Padmapala Shaksho Napratashte Suritsatam Prastana Bhimukopyenam Anugraha vilambita Pasyan Padmapala Shaksho Pratashte Suritsatam. Pasyan, seen, Padma Palasha Akshaha, the Lord whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower, Na, not, Pratashte, departed, Surit, the well-wisher, Satam, of the devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord was just about to leave, but because He was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, He did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with His lotus eyes, He was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Please repeat. The Lord was just about to leave. But because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Purport. Here the words Sarit Satam are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always very inclined towards his devotee and is always thinking of the devotee's well-being. This is not partiality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is equal to everyone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. But to one who particularly engages in his service, he is very much inclined. In another place, the Lord says that a devotee always exists in his heart, and he also exists always in the heart of the devotee. The special inclination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pure devotee is not unnatural, nor is it partiality. For example, sometimes a father has several children, but he has special affection for one child who is very much inclined towards him. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. Those who constantly engage in the devotional service of the Lord in love and affection are directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead sitting as the Super Soul in everyone's heart. The Lord is not far away from the devotee. He is always in everyone's heart. But only the devotee can realize the Lord's presence, and thus he is directly connected, and he takes instructions from the Lord at every moment. Therefore, there is no chance of a devotee's being in error, nor is there any partiality on the part of the Lord for his pure devotees. Amagyanatimanandasyagan anjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. So, this verse being quoted here is from Bhagavad Gita. Samaham sabhabhuteshu manedveshyos dinapriyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapi aham. Krishna says, I am not partial, I'm equal to all. Samoham sabhabhuteshu, so all living entities. Sabhabhuteshu, samo aham, the same I am. Na me dvesyo. Dvesyo means dual, like dva in Bengali. Ek, do, do or dva means two. So dvesyo means to be envious, but it comes from that being duality, that you treat one person one way and treat another person a different way. But Krishna says, no, I'm not like that. Excuse me. I'm not like that. Na me dvesyo sti na priyaha. I'm not particularly inclined towards anyone, na priya. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, those bhaktas, those devotees who bhajanti, who serve with love and affection, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, to me, Krishna says, mam bhaktya, mayi te, I'm in them, te teshu chapi aham. They are in me and I am also in them, he says. So there's two parts to this verse. Two aspects to this verse is that Krishna is saying that he is equal to all living entities. Samoham sarvabhuteshu mana dvesyo sti na priya. So Krishna says that he's equal to all in the first two verses, the first two lines. The second two lines he says, but at the same time I'm partial to the devotees. So this may be a little difficult to understand. Why is the Lord speaking like this? On the one hand he says I'm equal to everyone, on the other hand he says I'm partial to some. So how do these two go together? So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that the first two lines of this verse, they are describing the nature of the Super Soul, the Paramatma. And we know the Paramatma is Upadrashta Anumantacha. He is the permitter and the overseer. So the super soul is the one that gives the reactions. He is the permitter. He permits certain activities according to the activities of a person. He is the overseer of the whole material world. He's in everybody's heart. So this is the Lord's feature, is a super soul. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a very complex personality. He's not just a very mundane person. He has three aspects. Vedanti tat tatvavidam, tatvam yajgana madvayam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabite. The great sages, they know the Supreme Lord in his feature is Brahman, as all-pervading. Everything is coming from the Lord, everything is pervaded by the Lord. Yes, yasya yataha. Everything is coming from the Lord. This is Brahman. Everything is the Lord's energy. So that's one aspect of the Supreme. Then the next aspect is super soul. That is the personalized form. But he is the permitter, the overseer within everyone's heart. And then the third is Bhagavan himself as a distinct personality with his own desires and with his own activities. So these are three aspects. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu Manedreshya Sinapriyaha. This is the super soul level. And the super soul is not particularly inclined to anyone, and he's not particularly averse to anyone. Whatever you do, whatever we do, whatever action we perform, that action will get in the material world. This is universal truth seen everywhere, action and reaction. But of course the Supreme Lord is a very multifaceted Supreme Personality. He also simultaneously has the aspect of Bhagavan. So, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapayaham. This is the Lord's feature as Bhagavan, as a Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this feature, he is inclined towards his devotees favorably. In a sense, he's partial, but as Acharyas explained, it's not that he's partial, but just that he is reciprocating. As Krishna said, Yayatam mam prapatyante tamstate vidjami aham. As they surrender to Krishna, he said, then he rewards accordingly. So in this way, the Vedas are explaining the concept of God, that he is equal to everyone, first thing. The first level, maybe the second level, Brahman, but then Paramatma level, is that the Lord is equal to all. So any kind of a religion that says that, you know, somebody from this particular country, born in this country, or born of this race, or something is like the chosen race, or something like that, any religion that contains those kind of concepts is not accepted in the Vedic concept, is not accepted by the Lord himself here. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. He doesn't say sarva bharata bhumite janma, or it doesn't say sarva, you know, the chosen tribes from the Middle East or something. He doesn't say, he says sarva bhuteshu, everybody. So this is the first thing that any religious process that tries to say that one particular people can please God and others can't is not accepted by the Vedic view. But also we can look at this, that this aspect of the Lord is being described here. It's also very instructive for us in terms of relationship, in terms of how we relate to other people, because Janmaryasa Yataha is described in first sloka of Bhagavatam and also the Vedanta Sutra, that everything is coming from the Lord. All relationship is coming from the Lord. All relationships are there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This explained in Krishna book very nicely when Lord Krishna was coming into the arena of the sacrifice, and all the different people were seeing him differently. The demoniac king saw him as death personified. You know, the townspeople saw him as the most, you know, wonderful citizen. The residents of Vrindavan saw him as their Dima's friend. Like this, all of the different people were seeing him in a different aspect. So all these relationships are there in the Supreme, both favorable and averse. Prabhupada explains all of these relationships are there in the Supreme. So In this material world, any relationship that we have is based on that interaction between the Lord and His energy. It's working under the same principles. It is not something different. So we can learn a lot. Prabhupada said that by understanding one drop, you can understand the ocean. So by understanding ourselves, then we can understand Krishna. But also, and Prabhupada also said that by understanding Krishna, then we can understand ourselves also. The two are connected because Krishna has manifested everything. Janmadasyataha. Other traditions also saying similar thing. Man is made in the image of God, like that. So the point is that whatever relationships are there, Krishna is manifesting them in a perfect, supreme form. He's perfectly manifesting this relationship. We can learn by that, by technically analyzing how is Krishna relating, by taking different positions. Then if we find ourselves in a similar position, then we can learn of how to make a relationship work. Just like is described when Krishna was in Dwarka, he would wake up very early and perform his different activities. So Prabhupada described this is the perfect householder life is displayed by Lord Krishna. So we can analyze. So the aspect, there's many, many aspects, and technically in Sanskrit, this position of the Lord is called the Purusha. Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, as Lord Brahma explains. And the position of the living entity is described as the Prakriti, or the energy of the Lord. Purusha and the Prakriti. So here the one characteristic of the Purusha is being described, that he is equal to all. Samaham Sarvabhuteshu. So we can see that if we are in such a position of representing Krishna, and as described by Acharyas, different people will represent Krishna in different ways. Of course, we know the Guru is representing Krishna, but to some place they said that the mother is the first Guru, so the mother is representing Krishna to her children. The father is the Guru in the house, he's representing Krishna to his wife. The senior devotee is representing Krishna to the all the Vatma Pradashika Gurus, Shiksha Gurus. There's all different kinds of Gurus. It's also explained in the Bhagavatam that the king or the administrators, they're also sometimes described as Purusha because they represent the Lord in the material ordering of the society. So these relationships are going on. That one is, when one is representing Krishna in this relationship, it's a very heavy responsibility, and one must have a knowledge of how is Krishna, how does he relate with his energies to be able to properly represent the Lord. There's many aspects of this, but today this aspect is here of Samaham Sarvabhuteshu, that he's equal to all. So, for example, we can see, just to give an example, for example, a teacher, if a teacher is teaching a class and the teacher thinks, you know, oh, this student is I like this student better than this student. Just for no particular reason, not that this student is reciprocating more in terms of the lesson or anything, just that due to their conditioned nature, they like this one better than that one. So we can see, is that going to be very satisfying for the students? Who has taught students in some form or other? What happens? Sorry? Who has taught students? I know it's a bit echoey today, I don't know why. Who has taught students in some, even if it's your own children or something? Many of us, right? Almost all the ladies and one man. Is that, there must be more men, surely. So what happens if the students feel that you're being unfair? Are they very inspired? No, everybody's shaking their head. We all know that. So this is if the recently I was teaching in Australia doing some relief teaching, and it was a school of mainly migrants from North Africa, Afghanistan, Iraq, and a very, very big mix of children, and some of the children were very had very different levels of sort of concentration and able to control themselves and respect and all different things. It was a state school. It was a very big mix. It wasn't a very clear discipline policy or something like that. And one time, there was one child who was very much disturbing the class, and the other children very much liked that, the reciprocation was according to how that child was acting. The other children liked that. But at one point, I felt that, okay, you know, I said something, it was a little bit too much. It just was a little bit more than what that particular behavior deserved. And I felt a palpable change in the class, that a certain level of trust was sort of went down with the students. And this is a very practical example that anybody who's in that position of prakriti, they need to know that the purusha, the person giving them shelter, is equal to all. If they feel that, you know, oh, it's not fair, you know, this person just doesn't like me or something, then everything, the whole relationship breaks down. So like that, we can see these principles in everything, in every relationship. So the beauty of it is that Krishna is showing these principles, and if we act and if we're conscious of these qualities of Krishna, how he relates, then we can see Krishna in our own relationships. And we can see why. We can see, okay, am I taking shelter of this person? Okay, I'm taking shelter of this person, but how am I taking shelter of this person? Oh, this person is the manager of this particular department in the temple. So matters that are to do with that, I'm taking shelter of that person. There's a particular relationship that goes along there. You know, is this person taking shelter of me? In what aspect? How does it all work? So, like this, the example is given by Krishna. That's just one example of teacher and student, but there are many, many examples. So in that example, if a student does something very, very good, answers a question, then the other students won't feel bad if the teacher says, oh, very good, very nice answer, thank you very much. Then the other students won't feel bad because the reciprocation is based on an actual something actually done, an actual offering of love and affection, basically, because they're valuing that knowledge, they're reciprocating with that knowledge. So no one will mind that. This is something that, this is a very, very big subject, but just touching on it today. Now, we have some time. There's one pastime of Lord Chaitanya that has some relevance to this, and it's about where Krishna will help and where Krishna doesn't really feel to help or is not very impressed that he should help. So he'll tell this pastime that one time when the Lord was in Jagannath Puri, there's a devotee I call Bhavananda Roy. And Bhavananda Roy, he's the father of five sons. And Lord Chaitanya explained that this Bhavananda Roy, he was actually Maharaj Pandu in a previous life. And he had five sons who were the five Pandavas. Does anybody know what his sons were? What the name of his sons were? One of them was Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associate. You can't answer because I told you this last night. That's not fair. Bhavananda Roy, who said that? Yeah, Bhavananda. Oh, what did you say for him? Bhavananda. That was his name, the father's name. What were the five sons? Does anybody know? One of them is the same. Second, yeah? What did you say? Yes, very good. Yeah, Gopinath Patanayaka was one of them. Who was probably the most well-known, most intimate? Yeah? Ramananda Roy, yeah, good. So and there was three others. Does anybody know the three others? Vaninath, that's right, yeah. Vaninath Roy and... I don't know the two others, I can't remember. I read it last night. But... So this Bhavananda Roy, he was obviously very dear to Lord Chaitanya. His Maharaj Pandu, his sons were, you know, Arjuna, all, you know, and coming this incarnation as Ramananda Roy. So one of his sons that Prabhu's mentioned in the back, Gopinath Patanayaka, so he was a tax collector. He was working in the treasury, and he was getting some money, collecting money from people, and then submitting that money to the government. And it came to be that there was a debt of about 2 lakhs of conch shells. Kahanas, like a valuable conch shell that was like money. Or it was money. And what happened was that this debt was owed to the king, and the king came to know about it. And there was some talk that Gopinath Patanayak was kind of living quite well, being able to, you know, live well and have various enjoyments and entertainment, but at the same time wasn't giving this money to the king. So the king, it was Maharaj Prataparudra, was the king. As we know, Maharaj Prataparudra is very much attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord would never give him darshan, would never see the king, to set the example that the renunciate must never become involved in worldly affairs. The king, Maharaj Prataparudra, he sent his son, Purushottam Jana, his eldest son, he sent to get this debt back. What happened was, Gopinath Patanayaka offered that I have 10 or 12 horses, very valuable horses, so if you please take these horses, and then the rest of the debt I will repay. Maharaj Prataparudra sent his eldest son, Purushottam Jana, who was actually very expert in pricing horses. He knew very well what was the price of horses. So he went and he valued the horses, and he gave a much lower value. He was a very expert politician, I guess you'd say. So he said, oh yes, very good. So these are worth, I don't know the exact, maybe they were meant to be worth 100,000. And he said, oh yeah, these are worth 60,000 or something like that. It was much, much less than what the horses were actually worth. Now, this Purushottam Jana, he had an interesting idiosyncrasy that he would twist his neck and look up to the sky regularly. Sort of an idiosyncratic, you know, like a tick or some kind of, that's what he would regularly do. So, Gopinath Patanayaka, he knew that Maharaj Prataparudra was very favorably inclined towards him as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya and so forth. So he was completely fearless of this prince. So when this prince gave the very low price, he was very angry. And he said, you know, what is this? You know, there was so much more. So he said sarcastically, maybe not so intelligent to speak like this to a prince, but he said, actually there's nothing wrong with these horses, you know? Like, their neck doesn't twist and they don't look up to the sky. So, you know, you should give very good price to them. There's nothing wrong with them. So, of course, the prince did not appreciate this at all. Very personal kind of insult about his idiosyncratic behavior. So he immediately had him arrested. And actually, he went and did some politics with his father. And he said, oh, this Gopinath Patanayaka, he's not going to pay. He doesn't want to pay. So, you know, somehow or another, I'll get the money out of him. And the king, Maharaj Prataparudra, said, you know, okay, whatever you have to do, you know, get the money, get the debt. So this prince actually put Gopinath Patanayaka up on a changa, which is a platform, a raised platform, and they would settle these swords down underneath the platform, very heavy punishment, and the criminal was made to stand there. It was like a threat. They would stand for some time as a threat. Okay, if you don't mend your ways, we're going to throw you down onto these swords. So he was actually set up there on this thing called the changa. So this came to the attention of Lord Chaitanya. So all the devotees came, they said, your devotee, Gopinath Patanayaka, is up on the changa. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, he asked, okay, what happened? And they said, well, he had some debt to the king, he didn't pay. And Lord Chaitanya was really quite angry, actually. And he said, you know, what is this? He's spending money on dancing girls and he doesn't pay his debt to the king. You know, what do I have to do with that? You know, whatever he gets, that's his problem. That's his reaction. He should get that. If he can't pay his debt to the king, if he can't pay the taxes. So this went a few times. The devotees came a few times back and forth to the Lord. And then finally, one devotee, he was, what's his name? I didn't write that. One devotee actually went to Maharaj Prataparudra and said, you know, that this... this is a very exalted devotee of Lord Chaitanya, the brother of Ramananda Roy, he's up, you know, on the changa, there's been some misunderstanding, and immediately Maharaj Prataparudra, you know, had him released, and it was okay. So what happened after that was What happened after that is that, you know, Kashi Mishra was talking to Maharaj Pataprudra, and actually Maharaj Pataprudra to go and massage the feet of Kashi Mishra, who was very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Kashi Mishra, you know, mentioned that Lord Chaitanya was unhappy about this situation, that he was bothered so much by this, you know, material dealings between, you know, paying taxes and not paying taxes and so forth. And he gave some hint like that. So Maharaj Pataprudra actually called Gopinath Patanaik and that prince, and he said, okay, I forgive the whole debt, and also, just so that this doesn't happen again, because you must be in some financial problem, I'm going to double your salary, and you go back and keep doing your work like that. So the purport, and there's many purports to the story, of course, but one of the purports there is Prabhupada's making the point that the devotee shouldn't rely on the Lord to get him out of some material situation that he has brought on himself due to, you know, not paying some taxes or something like that. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, you should, you know, he actually said, you know, your duty to pay the taxes to the government is there. You have all these duties. You know, I'm not going to step in. You go and pray to Lord Jagannath if you want some special intervention, but I'm not going to do anything. And of course, so that's one purport. But of course, secondary, the Lord's inner desire that just by the mercy of the devotees, by the devotees talking to the king, then that whole situation was resolved. And it's described by the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord gives amazing spiritual benefits, but he also gives material protection sometimes, and material benefits. This is such as the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this mercy was given by him just simply, but he didn't even say anything. He didn't do anything. But through his devotees, there was the arrangements were made. So, like this, a very interesting story. This, you can read this story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Antilila, which is like the refined nectar of the nectar of the nectar. Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar of the essence of all Vedas. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is that postgraduate study of that, and the Antilila is the most just very intensely personal pastimes, the passing of Haridas Thakur and this pastimes with Gopinath Patanaika. So many other things are there in this last part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's very wonderful. If you have the chance to read it, please do in the Holy Dharma Mayapur. It's very wonderful. So I think we'll stop there, leave a few minutes for questions. But this is basically the essence of this verse. His purport is that Krishna, in one sense, he's equal to all. He just simply gives whatever the soul, however somebody approaches, he gives whatever the reaction is there. He's not equal to any. He's not partial to anyone. Doesn't particularly like or dislike anyone. But at the same time, he also has a feature that if one truly tries to serve him and love him, then he will make various arrangements to facilitate that more and more. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any question or any comment from senior devotees? No? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.